Why's Booty Hootie drinking wine? Why's Booty Hootie drinking wine? Slip that bottle to me.
Having some fun this morning. The Arizona Farm Bureau and special guest, Mr. Jim Graham from the Golden Rule Farm. And I guess I've been sitting by the sideline listening with rapt attention, and I just can't let Mr. Graham get off the hook without this one beef I've got. As a longtime Arizonan, I've been hiking southern Arizona since the 60s. Right along the border, all through the, all around Mount Wrightson and Elgin and Patagonia's Huachucas, Cochise. I mean, I love that country. And used to be in the old days, you could be stinky and dirty and bleeding from a hike through cat claw and mesquite and go to a motel. And any motel in southern Arizona, you get a room for $19. Then the Callahans planted the first grape vineyard down there, and y'all started branding yourself as wine country, and there isn't room south of Tucson you can get for under $100.
This is true.
Now it's wine country. Yes. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. I love Cochise in Santa Cruz County, one of my favorite areas of the whole state. And I don't care what they charge. I'm going to keep coming.
And we are excited about the economic contribution that our wine grape growers, for sure, and then those that make the wine, it's amazing. But I bet Jim and we're on the radio, this is public, but I bet Jim and Ruth could probably put you and Jennifer up for a night because they have a guest room right off of their tasting room. And that prompts me to ask another.
How many bunks are stacked in there?
Hint. I've stayed there twice. And I just loved it, and I love the Graham family, and they're just the greatest couple. So the question I have for you, because of the pandemic, are you still taking visitors to your tasting room?
Well, it's been a little bit tough since, just about a year ago in March, the state of Arizona shut down our tasting rooms from mid-March to mid-May, and that's often our busiest time of the year. We have snowbirders, the snowbirds that come down from the northern country, they like to drink our wine. And that, February, March, April time period is usually our best time. We have closed down our taste room at our farm, except for by reservation only. And we do have a tasting room in the town of Wilcox that's been reopened, and there are a number of tasting rooms in the town of Wilcox. So we encourage people, if they want to make a trip down to Wilcox, there are a number of tasting rooms within about a 15-mile radius of the city of Wilcox, and a really good place to spend a weekend. There are motels there that do cost less than $100. And we hope that people will come and enjoy Wilcox wine country.
And the building that you have your tasting room in downtown Wilcox is absolutely beautiful. It's historical and it's huge. You're not the only vineyard in that wine tasting area, correct? I mean, in the building that you guys are in, the historical building, or is it just you guys? I can't remember.
No, you're correct. There are now three tasting rooms within that one building. The building is called the Wilcox Commercial Building. It was built in 1879, and we had to do quite a bit of electrical wiring. Rosie and Romy would appreciate this. We had to go back in and replace a lot of electrical wiring, and then we realized that it was built the same year that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Uh-huh. So the wiring in the building was put in after the building was built, and we've it's been a challenge.
And it's right off the freeway, so someone doesn't have to drive all the way to the farm, and it's just a beautiful atmosphere. There's other wine tasting rooms that you can visit. It's just a really nice downtown area that it continues to be developed because they're charging more for the rooms at night. We're getting a little bit of economic surge in there, hopefully. Right?
That's right? Correct.
And by the way, Jim, I did remember the gentleman that was so interesting and entertaining. His name is Richard Poole. He's, again, one of your biggest fans. If people want to, oh, we had a guest.
Speaking of big fans, yeah. We had a caller in the last segment call in and say, you know, I've met Mr. Graham. I've been to his orchard, and the wine is wonderful. And that comes unsolicited just from a listener of the show.
So you need to mention your website again, because somebody can peruse the website and figure out what they're going to do. What is the website again?
GoldenRuleVineyards.com. So GoldenRuleVineyards.com.
I don't know if anyone else is putting two and two together here, but you rent out the guest room to guests that come down for the wine tasting, correct?
Well, no, it's only for special guests like Julie, and if the Romeros decide to come, we clear out all the stuff that's in the guest room. But we had somebody suggest instead of a bed and breakfast, we call it a bed and bottle.
Bed and
I'm in.
Gary's in.
I'm in.
We'll find another hotel in Wilcox, but I mean, is anyone else seeing the staycation like right in our face right here?
Oh yeah,
for the 2022.
Yeah, Jim,
is he on the house staycation?
Jim, what's the name of the steakhouse in Wilcox where they hand you the raw steak and they have a grill going in the back room and you go cook your own steak or hamburger?
It's called Rix's.
Yes,
and yep, they still do that.
Yeah, that's a great place. I love that place. You get to fix it as rare as you want.
Have you done it before?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Wow.
So on the topic of pistachios and wine, there's a few questions here to wrap up. Jim, you were talking about the harvest process of pistachios, and there's a critical 24-hour window when they come off the tree. Something has to happen. Educate me on that.
Sure. When we harvest, we actually shake the trees. We have a machinery that grips the tree and shakes the tree. The nuts come cascading off the tree. We collect them before they hit the ground. The pistachios are split on the tree before when they're ripe. So we can't roll them around the dirt like you can with the pecan. So this epicarp that's on the outside, or a hull, the hull is the epicarp. Within a few hours after you harvest that, epicarp starts to deteriorate and it can stain the shell. The U.S. industry has made a real effort to give you a natural looking and absolutely perfect pistachio with a clean blonde shell. So it goes to a processing plant. The nut goes through a machine that actually scrubs the hull off the outside of the nut. And then they go into crop dryers, very similar to what I used when I farmed in Iowa for drying corn, but it dries the nut down from about 45% moisture to 10% moisture. Then they can be stored until they're processed, sized, and sorted in the processing plant itself. So it's something that has to take place rather quickly after the harvest is made.
And I'm assuming since February 26th is National Pistachio Day, that we're probably right in the harvest time.
Actually, the harvest is in the fall. Usually you get it done in October, right?
Well, we usually start like the third week in August and go through the month of September.
Okay.
And I think if National Pistachio Day, that's when you need to sit down and eat pistachios all day long.
Because they've been processed, they've been packaged, and
they've been distributed. So now they're available.
And, you know, yeah. It's interesting, Jim, and this whole effort by the pistachio industry to have a real natural looking nut, because I remember the days when a lot of times they did the red dye, and maybe it was because the epicarp over the harder shell would maybe stain it. Was that one of the reasons that red dye was used often for pistachio?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And a lot of us grew up, well, we didn't have very many pistachios in Iowa, but as we were younger, we remember the red pistachios, and that was dye that was put on simply to cover up the blemishes on the shell. And you don't see red pistachios anymore, and if you do, it probably means that they may be imported from the Middle East, where they don't have as advanced processing capabilities as we do in the U.S.
Yeah. And any other nutritional insights for us, Jim, on the pistachio nut?
Well, they're high in vitamin A, they're high in fiber, and they do have a lot of energy. Our industry promotes them for active adults that like to hike or bike or do things where they can carry a few pistachios with them and get a boost of energy without carrying a lot of other food along with them. So it's a good snack for a hike or a bike ride or something like that.
So, Rosie, for all those hikes that the Romero family still does, you need to make sure you guys have your pistachios.
Oh, pistachios take me across the rim-to-rim hike of the Grand Canyon every year. I depend on pistachios in a lot of ways.
And when you reach the end of the trail, you get some Golden Rule wine from the Grams, and you're all set.
Absolutely.
Muscle relaxer.
Muscle relaxer.
I've got a bunny trail. Jim, do you have any game cameras on any of those trees out there?
well, we're in a wildlife area here. We have deer and javelina.
You've got an ocelot and a jaguar in your neighborhood. Have you ever run into them?
I have not, but we've seen mountain lions.
Oh, wow.
It was just featured this week that the jaguar that was first documented in 2016 has been observed 45 separate occasions, according to Game and Fish.
Don't they have him? They named him El Jefe.
It was, so there's an ocelot and a jaguar, and this jaguar is closest to where Jim's is. It was seen in the Chiricahua Mountains and Dos Cabez Mountains on January 6th.
And so that might, if that's the case, I bet they hung out in Jim's pistachio orchard.
Nobody's in that guest room, or they sampled their wine. And
well, and I wonder if wildlife likes pistachio nuts, Jim. I know that birds like your wine grapes, right?
Yeah. We, you know, farmers are always trying to occupy areas where other animals like to live. And we have to remind ourselves that they were here a long time before we were. So we give a little bit to the birds, and we give a little bit to the javelina, and we try to survive, you know, in a community here.
That's a good way to look at it. And there's still plenty of wine and pistachios left over for us. How have I know this? There's been advances in this. How do you manage? You know, like you said, you want to give some of your grape wines to the birds, but how are you managing so that they don't wipe out your grapes?
Well, especially in the vineyard, and it also applies to the pistachios too, because there are electronic they're called bird guards that make bird noises, raptor noises that tend to keep the small birds that like to eat our grapes and, invade the pistachios. They try to keep them away. We also have used a biological bird deterrent in the grapes that we spray on. It's actually Concord grape concentrate. This has been proved to have some impact on keeping the birds out. There's something about the
interesting
Yes, that is
grape extract that keeps them away.
Well, if I get to eat all the free pistachios I want, I may volunteer just to come down and be a scarecrow.